Hello there again, and welcome to another episode of Musings on Golf, where today we'll be joined by one of the greats of our game, eight-time major champion, Tom Watson. My name is Kelly Elbin, and along with my good buddy and partner, Bob Bupka, we'll tee it up for Tom to talk about his junior golf program, Watson Links, as well as hear from him about the Ryder Cup, LIV Golf, and of course, the Masters. We'll also talk and hear about Naps time in Mexico, plus the return of Anthony Kim. But Bob, it is always a thrill and an honor to talk with Mr. Tom Watson.
Well, we often say we got great guests that are going to be on Musings on Golf. I think we have to elevate that just a little bit for Mr. Tom Watson. He has been an ambassador. He's been a fantastic player, 5 Open Championships. I mean, Tom Watson, the epitome of what a professional golfer would hope to be.
Certainly agree with you. He talks a lot about mentoring in this interview that you all will hear shortly. He certainly was mentored. His dad, his longtime PGA professional, Stan Thirsk, really helped refine his skills as a player. And this Watson Links program, Bob, he's had some success with it in the Kansas City area, a lot of mentoring with getting young people on the golf course and having adults mentor them. These are kids who have some ability. He's had success in Kansas City. He's trying to take it to more states or more areas, and he has the opportunity to really be a nice infusion for the junior golf development for kids nationwide.
Oh, you're so right. These kids have demonstrated a little bit of talent now under Watson Links. I think they're going to be able to flourish, and hopefully a few of them, no doubt in my mind, will make it to the PGA Tour.
Well, and somebody who made it to the PGA Tour and won on the PGA Tour on Sunday, Jake Knapp, 29-year-old rookie from California, wins the Mexico Open. And, Bob, let's be honest, it was not a good leaderboard in terms of name recognition. When you have Jake Knapp and Sami Välimäki, who was trying to become the first player from Finland to win on the PGA Tour, CT Pan, Stefan Jäger, Justin Lauer, not exactly names. But, you know, one of the things the tour talked about is some of these players who've left to go to LIV, maybe they're going to be replaced by the next round of stars. Maybe the likes of Jake Knapp, and he really, really played well the week, obviously. Maybe he's one of the next stars of the PGA Tour.
Well, he could very well be. He's crossed that first hurdle, which many don't. People don't realize that it's actually a small percentage of people that make it to the PGA Tour that go on to win. And once you get that first one, quite often that'll breed a lot more confidence, but certainly it was not a strong leaderboard. But, you know, somebody had to win. And an interesting thing about Knapp, we wanted to know if he was interested in the leaderboard during that fourth and final round.
100% the entire time. Because, you know, I mean, you think about Kobe Bryant, Steph Curry, Michael Jordan, it's not like they don't look at the score with a minute to go. So, it kind of gives you a good idea of how the course is playing. If I would have seen a bunch of the guys at 12 get to 17 under through 9 holes, and I'd be like, yeah, okay, the course is very gettable. But I felt a lot of them were at 12, 13, 14 and not really moving. So, you know, it was windy and it was playing tough. Pins were in tough spots. So I kind of, once we got to like 14, I looked at the leaderboard and I was like, okay, it's a 2-man race. And I just got to focus on kind of what he does and just kind of played it basically as match play from there.
You know, it's pretty hard to just focus on winning when he certainly knows very well what comes his way. How about teeing it up in the Masters? How about teeing it up at the Players' Championship, the PGA of America? I mean, the list goes on and on. He has a 2-year exemption now through 2026 season. Boy, oh boy, a victory is a victory. But when you start adding up the perks of winning on the PGA Tour right now, they are huge, to put it mildly.
Yeah, Bob, his 9th start on the PGA Tour and gets into all these elevated events. What a game changer for a guy who, you know, hey, who knows? Who knows what happens next with Jake Knapp? Does he go on a little bit of a heater per se? Maybe we see him win before too long or whatever. You know, what takes place? I was disappointed in Jon Rahm. I tweeted out that, you know, that leaderboard is why I left the PGA Tour, you know, inferring the lack of a strong field. And he was correct. I just don't thought I didn't think that was a very smart thing around. I watched John's interview with Marty Smith of ESPN. I thought he was very honest. He said he left the PGA Tour for LIV because of the money. And he also says something in there that he reached out to a few of the top players to let him know that he was leaving. And one player in particular, a fellow by the name of Tiger Woods, has yet to get back to him. So that'll be that'll be an interesting time at the Masters Champions dinner with the defending champion and Tiger Woods.
Yeah, it should be interesting. It's good that John Rahm's going to be playing in the Masters. It wouldn't be Masters if they purposely left out a former champion. John Rahm, don't count him out for winning his second Masters jacket.
I wouldn't count him out at all. So, hey, let's look ahead a little bit. Really interesting time on the West Coast and now into Mexico for that last event for the PGA Tour. A lot of good storylines. Now we head east, so Palm Beach Gardens, Florida, where American Honda had been the sponsor of the Honda Classic for 40-plus years. They dropped it. A company called Cognizant, which is a multinational information technology services and consulting company. They're based in Teaneck, New Jersey. We're starting in India. Oh, this is a big company, 335,000 employees, $19 billion company. Now, this event, what's called the Cognizant Classic of the Palm Beaches, is actually going to be run by the PGA Tour, at least this year. The field is better. It couldn't have been any worse the last couple of years, to be honest. It's been sandwiched between the Genesis and then Mr. Palmer's event at Bay Hill. But a little more juice this year. Rory's playing. You got Ricky Fowler. You got Justin Rose. You got Lowry, Tom Kim. So a very challenging golf course at PGA National that some of the local kids here who live in Palm Beach Gardens, Jupiter, don't want to play. But it's good to see a better field. And Luke Donald, the European Ryder Cup captain, 2 years ago or last year and coming up on Long Island in next year, he gets a shot in the 18th tower for NBC Sports as the analyst.
Yeah, it looks pretty good. And he went to Northwestern, very sharp, fantastic painter. He loves artwork. And you mentioned Tom Kim being in the field. About Anthony Kim back in after 12 years, injuries upon injuries, among other things. You know, Kim did cash a $10 million insurance policy with the provision that if he returned to play professionally, he would have to return the $10 million. Could it be just a great reason why he evidently decided to give LIV a try?
Yeah, the aura, the mystique of who Anthony Kim has been since he burst on the scene in 08, demolished Sergio Garcia at the Ryder Cup at Valhalla, helped the U.S. win that Ryder Cup. But yeah, the injury and as you said, the insurance policy, he's going to tee up for the first time at the event in Saudi Arabia. So I'm not sure how many people are going to be watching that live, but there's certainly a curiosity factor about Anthony Kim. What's his game going to look like after such a ridiculously long absence from competitive golf? But hey, you know what? If he plays well, it's a good thing for LIV. And, we'll see. I don't expect him to play particularly well. He's a wild card, Bob, the way they have this set up. He's not one of these team members this week, but he plays well enough for a while. He'll be on one of those teams out there for LIV Golf. I promise you that.
Yeah, he's a very talented player, but was prone to those injuries that we talked about, eventually leading to him leaving the game. But Anthony Kim's one of the good guys. I'm hoping he does really well. Well, the results from the match are in. What happened there, Kelly?
Yeah, the Capital One's the match, which I think it was the ninth edition of that, the primetime events. And this one's played under the lights at a really cool place called The Park. It's a West Palm Beach Country Club. Had been sort of deteriorated over the years. Good, really good layout. Seth Waugh, the CEO of the PGA of America, got involved in supporting it, some others as well. And they've created a fantastic public facility in downtown West Palm Beach. And yeah, last night, as we record this on Tuesday, February 27th, Rory McIlroy walked away with a little $2.4 million payday or pay night, if you will. It was a cool skins game, actually, with had Rose Zhang, Lexi Thompson, and then Rory and Max Homa. So they played, what, 12 holes and had to go to to an extra hole, or 11 holes ahead to go to an extra hole. But, you know, another one of these ways for golf to be a little bit different, and certainly for a couple of guys and ladies to make some money.
Yeah, no surprise that Rory dominated, certainly the best player in that field by far. And now it's the drumbeat is beginning to sound rather loud for Rory McIlroy, because April right around the corner, and that brings the Masters. That brings the last remaining obstacle for Rory McIlroy to complete the Grand Slam. Seems like he's in better position this year than quite a few previous years. We can look for some real excitement down at Magnolia Lane come April time.
Yeah, and again, PGA National, where he's playing this week, he's won there before. You know, we've talked a lot about him going into the Masters, and yeah, it certainly seems like he's in a good position now. It's just hard to win it, as he's found out for all these years. It'd be nice to see him if he can get off to a good start at Augusta. And I always root for the guy. I really like the guy a lot. We've sat next to him when I was with the PGA of America, several PGA championships that he won, so I know the classy guy that he is. That first round of the Masters, before Rory and the rest of the gang tee off, you've got that ceremonial group of Watson and Jack and Gary Player. What a tradition. What a great grand tradition that's been. And Tom mentions that in his discussion. I know it means a lot to him, Bob, to be part of Jack and Gary stepping on that first tee and hitting those first shots.
Yeah, and it means a lot to the gallery, the crowd that gathers around that first tee on Thursday morning at 8 a.m. is absolutely incredible. It's wall to wall. Why shouldn't it be when you get an opportunity to see Jack Nicklaus, Gary Player, Tom Watson all tee off one time again in the Masters? I love that tradition. I hope that continues forever.
Brings us back to the warmth, what we love about golf, right, Bob? The purity of the game. Really interesting to see a Masters sending an invite, special invite for Joaquin Neiman, who's played well on the LIV Golf Tour. However, in the bio that Augusta National sent out, there was no mention about any of his accomplishments on LIV Golf. So they keep that distance. But the purity of the Masters, it somehow keeps on going, Bob.
Yeah, it really does. There is no other event like it. Probably the most popular. I wouldn't say it was the biggest golf tournament of the year, but I would say it was the most popular. And part of the reason it's played on the same course every year. So spectators, whether they be in person or whether they be watching it on TV, are very familiar with that 18-hole track. So it just adds to the excitement.
Yeah, and one who knows that golf course very well, you're going to hear from right after this from our good friends at William & Harry and Titleist, Tom Watson and Watson Links. People are really going to enjoy this interview, Bob. By the way, Bob, my daughter Megan's 29th birthday, so a shout out to my daughter.
Happy birthday. Happy birthday. You're 29 years old.
Introducing the epitome of golfing elegance and performance from William & Harry. Immerse yourself in style and unparalleled comfort as you step onto the green with William & Harry's unique durable deerskin and calfskin masterpiece. Unrivaled in its water-resistant design, the WH shoe, which is also available in private label, ensures that you stay focused on your swing even in unpredictable weather conditions. Elevate your game to where luxury meets peak performance. Step into excellence. Step into innovation at williamandharry.com.
When you make the best performing golf balls in the world, your biggest competition is yourself. And now the golf ball that sets the standard for every other has raised the bar again. New Titleist Pro V1 and Pro V1X are longer and more consistent with unrivaled control. Outperform with new Pro V1 and Pro V1X. Titleist, the number one ball in golf.
Welcome back to Musings on Golf. Bob, what an honor it is to be joined by one of the greatest golfers of all time. His World Golf Hall of Fame career includes 8 major championships, 39 PGA Tour victories, and a host of incredible memories along the way. His newest venture, Watson Links, is about giving back to and growing the game he loves so much Tom Watson, thanks for joining us and welcome to Musings on Golf.
It's a pleasure to be on. Thank you.
Hey, Tom.
Hello, Bob.
I have to tell you that for the majority of my career, people would always ask me, what's the definition of a true golfer? And thanks to what we shared in 2009, I now have that definition. It's somebody that plays the sport, catches a bad break on the very last hole, preventing them from winning another major championship, which would have been the biggest story in sports, and was so gracious in that media room. I'll never forget your line, because you walked in there and everybody was afraid to say anything, and you said, come on, guys, this is not a funeral. And that broke the ice. But you were tremendous that week, Tom, and it was the rubber of the green. That's all it was. I was as close to where that ball landed as anybody possible. It was just a little bit of a hard spot, and it went further than it should have. And, you know, the rest is history.
Well, I scared those kids, as I say, Bob. They were looking up on that yellow scoreboard up there, and they saw the last name Watson, and they look up there and said, that's not a B in front of that.
Let's get to the heart of the matter here, Tom. And I know this is an endeavor that's really close to your heart. I know you're very involved with Watson Links, and I know you want to take the program beyond your Kansas City area. How did the first year of Watson Links go at the local level?
Well, let me define Watson Links. Watson Links is simply a mentor-kid program. Both mentors and kids sign up for starting times at public golf courses. They connect there, and they play nine holes for free. And it's worked very well. And this last year, we started a couple years ago and to get out some of the kinks. And now we're expanding it nationwide. We have four other local programs in various places, Sacramento, Indiana, Omaha, and Wichita. And these programs are being started this spring. And we're really trying to expand it nationwide. Because I go back to trying to do something for the game. When the caddies started to disappear from golf courses, I felt the caddies were where we got a lot of golfers from all walks of life to play the game. And when the electric cart or the gas cart came into being, those caddies disappeared. So I started a program called Clubs for Kids in Kansas City, which gave a kid a golf club and a golf lesson. But it was just a one-day deal. And whether they progressed from there, I don't know. And then we had a program here in Kansas City. Al Hoffman started a program very, very much the precursor of the First Tee. First Tee started in 1997. I was at the initial ceremony with George H.W. Bush, who is the honorary chairman of the First Tee, and now it's expanded it all around the country. And I felt that was really the, I thought that was the, you know, the golden egg. And, What's missing a lot of times from the First Tee is that the kids don't get a chance to go out and play real golf. Yes, they go and they learn the skills on the practice tee, but they don't have a chance to go out and play real golf. And I go back to my beginnings. My dad was my first mentor. He taught me the grip and the setup and the swing. Then Stan Thirsk was the mentor, the pro at the Kansas City Country Club. He helped me develop the my skills, but also to play the game on a golf course. You know, you can't learn it on the practice tee. You've got to learn it on the golf course. And that's what Watson Links is designed to do, is to get the kids out on the golf course playing real golf with the help of a mentor, just like my dad or Stan was.
Have you reached out to other organizations in the world of golf to see if you can get some support from them?
Indeed, I have. I've reached out to our national First Tee organization run at the PGA Tour. I've reached out to the USGA, and we've reached out to the PGA. We've had some very good conversations and some, I'd have to say, very helpful things that they want to do to help our Watson Links program succeed.
You know, Tom, you mentioned President Bush, and you mentioned modesty. I always regarded you as very modest, no matter how great you were. I had an opportunity to be covering a President's Cup in Manassas, Virginia. On the first tee was Tim Fincham, Gary Player, Jack Nicklaus, past President Bill Clinton, and I'm standing next to President Bush. And I'm as nervous as I could possibly be. And all of a sudden, Tom, I feel a little nudge in my ribs. And I look over, and it's the president. And he says, "Isn't this a name-dropper's paradise?" I said, "Mr. President, if you think that, what the heck do you think I'm thinking?"
He loved the game of golf. You know, we've been very blessed in the United States in our history to have most of the presidents of the United States have played golf and promoted the game. And, you know, the beautiful thing about the game is that you can take all the credit for a great shot, but you must take all the blame for a bad shot. I mean, you have to accept that.
Thrilled to be joined by the great Tom Watson here on Music Zone Golf. Tom's newest venture, Watson Links, which is expanding nationwide, is primary topic of our conversation. Hey, Tom, you talked about mentors, your father and Stan Thirsk. What's the mentoring process work? Who are those people who are on the course with the kids, helping them develop? Are there PGA golf professionals? How does that work?
Well, we go out and just basically advertise the program. We have it on Facebook and Instagram and LinkedIn. I've done some promotions at the golf shows, at the PGA Merchandise Show, our Kansas City local golf show. And last year at the Kansas City Golf Show, we had 30 mentors sign up after I spoke. And you know, we ended up with a total of 40 mentors last year taking the kids out in the golf course. And it seems like a pretty easy sell. People who play the game and love the game, they get it. They get why this is important. Now, they get it that these kids need to get out in the golf course to play real golf and to go out. And these mentors come back with wonderful stories about how much they enjoyed it. The parents of the kids universally have said they really, really are big fans of the program for their kids. And, you know, playing nine holes, almost any golfer can get out and play nine holes maybe three times a summer with these kids. And that's all we ask. And we play for free, and we don't charge the kids or the mentors anything for the joy of going out and playing nine holes of golf.
Tom, I know that creating lifetime golfers is really important to you, to have those kids who play nine holes then go on and experience our game for the rest of their lives. What, from your standpoint, what are the keys from getting them beyond playing nine holes to then becoming regular golfers and therefore hopefully lifetime golf?
Well, I think a lot of it has to do with competition. Once we get them on the golf course and playing real golf, the kids, they'll play with each other on the golf course. And, you know, one kid will look at the other kid and he said, "I want to beat you. And I want to beat you." You know, they keep score and then they become competitors. And there's all sorts of competitive programs for kids to graduate to from our mentorship program.
Hey, Tom, I know Stan Thirsk meant so much to you and such a heralded PGA club professional. Can you talk a little bit about what he did to nurture your development as a golfer and just the type of person he was and what he meant to you? I'm thinking that a lot of those mentors you have now, maybe they become the Stan Thirsks of today.
Well, the most important thing about Stan was his passion for the game. Stan was a great player. He played in 16 major championships, PGAs and U.S. Opens. So I looked up to him as, God, wow, someday I'd love to be like Stan. And my dad, same thing with my dad when I first started playing. Wow, Dad can really play. I want to be like that. And that's the type of inspiration that we're giving the kids. I want to be like that. I want to hit balls like that. And when the kid hits a good shot, you know the feeling of hitting a good shot. We all do. And what it does for our pleasure and our excitement about playing the game of golf. It's a hard game. We can go through a day of golf and not hit any good shots. And do we quit? No, we go back the next day because we remember that one good shot we hit on that hole. I can do that again. And that's what Yeah, that's how you progress in anything in life. You have a little success and you work on that. Yes, you have failures, but you learn from your failures. You know, just like I said, how did I learn to win on the PGA Tour? I learned by failing. I mean, I had opportunities to win a number of golf tournaments in my first 4 or 5 years in the tour. You know, finally, I learned to win by hating to lose, essentially, and then going out and practicing, you know, to hit the shots that I didn't hit when I was trying to hit them.
Psychologically, when you won for the first time, when you won on tour for the first time, when you went back out there after winning, as opposed to coming close, was your mindset very, very different? Because, hey, I know I can beat these guys, as opposed to, man, I'm coming so close.
No, wasn't different at all. The most, you know, all I tried to do is try to be a better golfer every time I went out to play. That was my only goal, and I was going to practice harder than anybody to try to achieve that goal, to be my best and to play my best golf. So winning a golf tournament, the true facts about it is that the next week you tee it up on Thursday morning. You know, it doesn't matter a hill of beans that you won the previous week. Not at all.
Because everybody's back to even, right?
Everybody's back to even. You start over again.
Well, there's a big day coming up in the very near future. When we go down in April to Augusta National and you get the honor and privilege of standing on the first tee on Thursday morning to hit the first shot with Jack and Gary, that has to be a very special day for you, Tom.
No, indeed it is, Bob. I played the Masters in 1970. My first time as an amateur, and then in 1975, a number of times I went out to see the honorary starters tee off, and it was a pleasure to see the likes of my good friend Byron Nelson and Sam Snead tee off, and then Arnold Palmer and Jack and Gary tee off, and when I got the call from Fred Ridley, chairman of the Masters tournament, to ask me if I would consider teeing off on the honorary starter's role on Thursday, I said to him, I said, you know, I don't feel as if I can carry these guys' shoes. I mean, he said, Tom, we still would love to have you. And I said, it's a great honor. It's a great honor to be able to do that. It's a great tradition at the Masters. You know, they say the Masters is about tradition. Well, golf is about tradition. I still believe that the traditions of golf are fundamentally sound, and they teach you how to be a better human being. And being able to have those traditions and maintaining those traditions is very important for us.
And it's amazing the magnitude of the crowd that attends that ceremony on that Thursday morning at 8 o'clock. By the way, I want to remind our listeners, I know they recognize the voice, but it's none other than Tom Watson. We're so proud to have him here on Musings on Golf. What do you think of the growth of the drive, chip, and putt finals at Augusta National?
Augusta has done a couple different things that I think have really helped the game of golf grow. The drive, chip, and putt is one of them. I'm going to be there handing out the trophies this year on Sunday after their competitions, and it just wonderful to see the excitement and the passion of these kids who finally make it to Augusta and compete. The two things that Augusta has done to really help the game of golf grow is the Asian Pacific Amateur and the South American Amateur. What a wonderful perk it is to be able to play in the Masters and to compete for that honor to play in the Masters in Asia and in South America. That helps the game grow for sure.
Switching gears a little bit, Tom Watson, the Open Championship returns to Royal Troon this July. Take us back to 1982 when you won your fourth Open. What were your keys to victory that week on that very difficult golf course?
Well, Nick Price had it in his hip pocket, honestly, and he failed on the back nine. He made it. He came in and he made a double bogey, a few bogeys, and I just hung in there. He had me by four or five shots at the turn, and then I eagled the 13th hole. I'm sorry, the 11th hole, the railway hole, the par five. I played the back nine fairly strong, and Nick Nick, he failed. Sometimes you win golf courses by the failures of others. And I remember when Nick won at Turnberry, I believe it was 1994. He said in the ceremony, you know, celebrating his win, he said, "One time I had my hand on one side of this trophy, but now I've got my hand on both sides of the trophy."
Very well said.
Having hands on both sides of that claret jug is pretty darn good, isn't it, Tom?
It is. Don't drop it and bend it like I did in 1980.
What happened? You take us back. What happened?
Well, the silver part of the trophy was loose from the wooden base.
Ah.
And I picked it up by the wooden base, and the silver part dropped off, and the trophy bent right at the very smallest part of the trophy at the bottom there. And so it was cattywampus.
Well, Tom, a few questions from me. I know you've been very proud member of the PGA Tour for years and years, and then playing on what's now known as the PGA Tour Champions. The elite game has been fractured now for several years with LIV Golf. And I know you've been outspoken in your feelings on that. Where do you see that situation right now? And can it be fixed? How does it need to be fixed to make the elite game unified and strong again?
Well, I think the crux of the issue is the official world golf ranking system that gives points only to the PGA Tour players and not the LIV players. The LIV players, they want official world golf ranking points so they can make it in the top 50 to be invited to all the major championships. So the bottom line is that the players want to play in the major championships. And the LIV golfers do not get those points, and therefore they fall off that top 50 list pretty quickly. If LIV did this, if they went to 72-hole cut tournaments and were equal to the PGA Tour's operations of their tournaments, 72 holes with a cut, I wouldn't have any problem with them getting the official world golf ranking points and being invited into the major championships. Now, with that said, there are some wonderful golfers on the LIV Tour, and it's exciting to watch, but it's different. It has really more of an exhibition field rather than a serious golf tournament field. And I think that John Rahm actually stated that earlier on when he said, I don't have any plans to go to LIV because of that one factor, that the PGA Tour is serious golf. Now, it doesn't take the entertainment value away from watching the LIV players. They can flat play and look at Brooks Koepka winning the PGA. So I think that the PGA Tour is fractured. I think that the players are now going to be paid and be actually owners of the PGA Tour. With the sports strategic sports group, the SSG group came in and fused $3 billion to it. Those players on the PGA Tour are going to be paid kind of a graduated scale. The top players are going to be paid more than the lesser players. We'll see how that works out, whether more players in the PGA Tour will defect to the LIV Tour. But I think you get back to the point where the LIV Tour has to change their format. If they want to compete with the PGA Tour, they need to change the format. Now, you look at the NFL. The NFL embraced the AFL coming into their fold, where they were playing the same rules. You didn't see the NFL embrace Canadian Football League because they don't play by the same rules. So, but if you're playing by the same rules, I think, there's synergy in having the two tours join forces and carry on forward and end this this fractured tour.
Well, I'm the son of a PGA club professional who was at a club in the D.C. area for 50 years as the head professional. So it's been in my blood, much like the game has been in your blood the entire life. Tom, I can't tell you how many people like myself who live for the game have said, you know, I'm really disenchanted with professional golf right now. I don't watch it as much as I used to. The money is all I'm hearing about. Doesn't that have to be an issue that television, the tours have to be concerned about? You can't have people turning away who are your low hanging fruit of potential listeners because they perceive greed, and all they're hearing about is money and one player jumping from one tour to another.
Well, you look at college sports. College sports the same way. With basketball, football, you got the NIL and the portal. You see players jumping from one team to another team without any restrictions. And to me, that's ruined college sport. To me, the rivalries, they're not there anymore. They've changed the rivalries. I'm from Kansas City. Our biggest rivalry was Kansas versus Missouri. And Missouri left, went to the SEC, and they didn't play Kansas anymore. So I kind of lost interest in college sport because of that. And I think you're going to see, as you say, I think this concentration on the disenchantment of some of the players, some the press, and the focus on the money issues. The LIV players, they're paid a fortune, and the PGA Tour players are not paid. And now they're going to be paid. Now they're not going to be paid the same amount of money as the LIV players, that's for sure. So are you still going to see the PGA Tour players jump to the LIV to be paid more money? That's the question. All this does to, as you said, it makes golf less inviting. It's not as pure a sport as it used to be. The sport is basically tee it up on Thursday, and let's say he's going to have the lowest score on Sunday. That's bottom line. Who's the best that week? And we want to watch those players do that without the sideshow of all the things going on between the PGA Tour and LIV.
Bob, final question for me, for Tom, please. Tom, what'd you think of the situation at the Ryder Cup in Rome with Cantlay? Was he wearing a hat or not wearing a hat? And the U.S. really getting their hat handed to them by the Europeans. Did you have any particular thoughts coming out of that?
No, I really didn't. I really don't know what really went on. All I know is that the PGA of America better change their schedule format for the Ryder Cup when we play in Europe. They had better get those players over there on the Thursday or Friday before the Ryder Cup so their bodies can adjust to the time zone change. I mean, Friday morning, the kids were still asleep, and they get their butts handed to them 4-0. And your body doesn't adjust that quickly, especially when you're younger. It just doesn't. And that's something that I hope that in 4 years or I'm sorry, in 2 years, I guess now, 3 years, that the PGA, PGA of America and the captain, whoever that is, will get the schedule, have the players go over a lot earlier.
Before we ask about where do people go for Watson Links, we always ask this, Tom. Who would round out your dream foursome, whether they're alive or deceased, and where would that round be played?
Well, I'd play with my father, who's deceased, my older brother, Ridge, I played so many rounds of golf with, and my son, Michael. And I play at the course I grew up on, at Kansas City Country Club.
Wouldn't expect anything different from Tom Watson. What I want to find out from you, where can our listeners learn more about Watson Links?
Go to watsonlinks.org, and it's also on social media on Facebook, Instagram, and LinkedIn. And you'll find information about it. We're creating an app that's going to be very easy for the new local program, the local programs to be able to use from a structure standpoint of helping ease the sign-up process for the kids and the mentors. And make it streamline it so there's not so much human contact and interaction there, and so the program will essentially pretty much run itself once you get it started in our local programs. We've really done a lot of back backroom legal stuff, and made sure that all the I's are dotted and T's crossed as far as the program, how it works. We have background information on how it works. We have budgets that we can send to anybody who wants to start a program there. We license the name Watson Links and have the people who are interested in running the program run the program independently. And I just believe in the outcome. I believe the outcome of this program is going to create the lifetime golfers that I want to happen in this country. You don't learn to play golf unless you're on a golf course. Bottom line, let's get them on the golf course and play. The kids that don't have a chance to.
Yeah, Tom, I know you want to get kids on the golf course to play, but doesn't there have to be some level of ability before they can get out there and play nine holes?
Arbitrarily put an age of 10 to 18, but we take kids younger than that. But, you know, if they show skills, they have to have a skill. They have to have some skill of hitting the golf ball. It can't be beginners. We don't take beginners. We take kids that have some basic skills. And it's really a natural progression from the first tee. The kids in the first tee, they after 6 weeks in a program or 4 weeks in a program of the first tee, they have basic skills, and we can take them on the golf course.
Well, I would like nothing more than this game to explode, to return to the gentlemanly status that it has enjoyed. I love the name Watson Links because, Tom, you're regarded as perhaps the greatest Links player in history. There are no words of gratitude from Kelly and myself to say thank you for doing this. We appreciate your time. We certainly wish the very best to Watson Links. Thanks, Tom.
Thank you, Bob, and thank you, Kelly.
Introducing the epitome of golfing elegance and performance from William & Harry. Immerse yourself in style and unparalleled comfort as you step onto the green with William & Harry's unique durable deerskin and calfskin masterpiece. Unrivaled in its water-resistant design, the new and improved WH shoe, which is also available in private label, ensures that you stay focused on your swing, even in unpredictable weather conditions. So elevate your game to where luxury meets peak performance. Step into excellence. Step into innovation at williamandharry.com. Bob, that was really, really neat to hear from Tom and all of his different views on what's going on in the game now. But Tom's always, he's always been a big advocate for junior golf, and he's looking to the future as far as the next generation of players. And I love what he's doing with Watson Links.
Well, there might have been better players. There might have been people that hit it farther. But I'll tell you, I don't know if there's ever been a much better ambassador for the sport of golf than Tom Watson. And I know his new program, Watson Links, very close to his heart. He wants to get junior players that are showing some talent to foster that talent. We have to thank Tom Watson again for taking time out to speak to us. Been a dear friend for a long time. And Tom, we really appreciated you.
In addition to that, really, Bob and I want to encourage, you know, both mentors and junior golfers alike, check out watsonlinks.org, see what that might mean to you personally and to support it in some way. Again, we thank Tom Watson very much. Bob, next week, Mike Davis, the longtime CEO of the United States Golf Association, stepped down from that role a couple of years ago, and Mike is very involved with the Apogee Club, one county up from where I live here in Palm Beach County Golf Complex. We're going to learn a lot about what Mike's doing and did a great job with the USGA.
Yeah, he certainly did. We had an opportunity to work with him at a couple of U.S. Opens that were held out at Shinnecock, and Mike proved to be a very good friend of ours, and certainly an honor and a pleasure to have Mike Davis on Musings on Golf coming up next week.
Well, it's an honor and a pleasure for me to be joined by my good friend Bob Bupka every week. Kelly Elbin signing off on Musings on Golf.